August. Last August. And then when I got the invitation, the text message, I was like, sure, I'll come. And my pastor was like, yeah, that's a safe house. Safe house where they go. So, amen. Yeah, yeah, that's what she had been here. But my other pastor had been here. And so she said, it's a safe house. And we release you to go.
Amen.
And so amen. That says a lot. Because you got to know Apostle Bruce. You got to know what she found. You can't. But she did. And it's indeed a pleasure to stand before you guys. We're going to be coming from the book of Ruth. And this not going to be your typical Ruth message. It's not going to be. We're not going to talk about. We will, but not in the capacity for which we're used to hearing the book of Ruth talk. We usually, when all the single ladies raise your hand, you know, we usually get all excited when we hear about the book of Ruth because we're going to get our Boaz. You know, but then this ain't about getting your Boaz. This ain't about getting a rich husband. Amen. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. It ain't about, you know, putting the man down and making them feel like they are less than because they don't live up to Boaz's expectation. But Boaz had flaws too. Amen. But we're going to talk about relationships.
All right.
Hallelujah. We're going to mainly focus on the relationship of Naomi and Ruth. Because if it had not been for the relationship between Naomi and Ruth, there would not have been a relationship with Ruth and Boaz.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to go to verses. The text is going to come from Ruth, the first chapter, verses 16 through 17. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And the conversation, there's a whole conversation that's going on between Naomi starts it off, and then we're going to pick it up right here with Ruth. And I'm going to tell the story, and then we're going to build up to this particular scripture here. It says, but Ruth said, do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. And your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do this, and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you. Amen. And my title is, and don't y'all go back to the club when I say this, don't y'all fix that, is I want to be down with what you're going through.
All right.
And the subtitle would be being in the right relationship. The book of Ruth, the author of the book of Ruth is unknown. Some sources attribute it to the prophet Samuel. But the author is really unknown. There is no mention really of the author. And when you think about the time that this book was written, King David was during the time when King David reigned. You know, he was either coming into office or he was already in office. And it was written and set during the time of Judges. And it opens up, actually the book of Ruth opens up with that statement. And which is, the author of Judges describes as a period where there were no king, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did whatever seemed right to him. The storyline of Ruth takes place in two locations, Moab and Bethlehem, Israel. Bethlehem, Israel. Written during the dark days of the period of Israel judges. Centered around a Gentile woman. Y'all catch that? A Gentile woman. It's through her experiences we see the demonstration of God's love, grace, and redemption. Just a little bit about the name Ruth. The name Ruth means lovely friend. Naomi's name meant pleasant. But you know, she tried to change her name to Mara, which meant bitter. Boaz named men, powerful and strong. And then Naomi had two sons and a husband. She had a son named Mahlon and Chilion. And check this out. Both of their names meant sickness and used up.
My Lord, my Lord.
Check that.
Teach it.
And then there was Orpah. She was married to one of the sons. How about her name meant back of the neck? Huh? And we know she turned around and went back. Mm-hmm. Amen. She turned her back on Naomi. And then Naomi's husband, which was Elimelech, which means my God is king.
Come on now. Teach us.
The story begins, and most of us, like I said earlier, is that we're familiar with the book of storylines that they talked about Boaz and Ruth getting together. But let's just go a little further with this. So Naomi and her husband Elimelech leaves their hometown of Bethlehem. Israel is suffering from a famine, and they decide to relocate to a nearby nation, Moab. Moab was about 50, 60 miles from Bethlehem, located on the opposite side of the Dead Sea. That took them somewhere about 7 to 10 days walking. You know, there wasn't no cars, wasn't no Uber. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't no Lyft, you know? So they had to walk there. So Naomi's husband dies. Couldn't give the cause, but he dies. We can kind of go somewhere with that, because if you think about it, they left Israel where God was basically caused a famine to come upon Israel because they had been disobedient. So he ran. I'm just going to take a liberty to say he ran from his punishment.
Uh-huh.
He left. Instead of staying right there and going through it, he decided he going to move on to another place. And he goes into a place called Moab. And the Moabite people were the descendants of Lot, and they were conceived from incest. They worshiped a god that required them to make human sacrifices. So why would you leave this place because there's no food, to come to a place where there was no God? Come to a place where there was no God. So they leave there. They leave there and they go to Moab. And while in Moab, her husband dies. The sons marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. Now the thing here is that you have a Jewish family and then you have the Moabites, the Gentiles. You got them coming together with this Jewish family. All right. So we want to remember that. So that was a 10-year span after Naomi, after Ruth and Orpah married Naomi's sons. The sons died. It doesn't say what the cause was, but then if you go back to what I said, their names meant sickness and used up. It seemed like that was more or less their destiny. Because what's in a name? We have to be careful. We have to be careful. And in the Bible days, they were real strategic about what they named their children. We have to be strategic because there's meaning behind names. So I just believe that their name has something to do. When you take that a little further, I also looked up at the fact that one of them may have dealt with some mental illness.
All right.
There was something going on, so he might have had a struggle. I don't had some type of mental struggle. But anyway, they died. Causes unknown. So after her husband dies, her kids, her sons die, Naomi decides, well, you know, she had heard a rumor that the famine was over in Israel. So she tells her daughter-in-law about her plans, that she going back home. And she tells them both what she feels like they should do.
That's right.
They should stay where their people are. And Orpah and Ruth have a better chance of getting married if they stay with their people. They can remarry, because Naomi wasn't planning on having no more children. And she explained that to me, even if I got married tonight, if God sent her a husband tonight, she get pregnant, they weren't gonna wait till the son, till that the child grew up. And then she would have to have children for both of them. Unless she had twins. Amen. I'm just throwing that in. So she advised them that she's going back to her homeland, and that they can remarry and they can begin new lives. So they had started on this journey. She made a plea with them at least three times. That second time, Orpah said, okay, I'm going to go back. I'm turning back. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to go. I don't know nobody. I got to go to work now. I'm single. I got to start all over again in this new place. I think I'm just going to go on back. How many of us do that? We go back to what we're familiar to.
Yeah,
we're
right.
Familiar with. So she had been, and I believe that she had been worshiping the same God that Naomi had been worshiping, the true and living God. But the blessings had run out. She didn't have no husband no more. She wanted to get married again. I guess she wanted to have children. It didn't say that there were any kids, so I'm going to take from that they didn't have any children. So Orpah turns, or she turns back, and she goes back. Ruth insisted on staying with Naomi, that she made such a vow, and I just believe that somewhere there was a conversion that had taken place.
All right.
Because she said, my God, your God would be my God.
All right.
So she had to believe. She had to have had a conversion from being around Naomi all that time.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you go, I will go.
Yes, sir.
Where you lodge, I will lodge. Where you sleep. How many of us got friends like that?
Yeah.
They really want to be down with what you're going through.
Amen.
She was really down with what her mother-in-law was going through.
Hallelujah.
Her mother-in-law had lost all her family. Basically, they were homeless.
Yes,
they were destitute. But this woman named Ruth followed her mother-in-law to a place and decided, I don't know nobody there either, but your people will become my people.
Yes,
that's it.
And most importantly, and I keep saying this, is your God is going to be my God.
Amen.
And that nothing would separate us but death.
Yeah.
Nothing would separate us but death. So Naomi and Ruth arrived in Israel where the barley harvest was on the way. That was between the month of April and June.
Yeah.
That's when harvest time was, and they was out there picking wheat, grain. They were so poor that Ruth had to go and gather food that had fallen on the ground while the harvesters were gathering the crops.
That's true.
Yeah, Lord.
So listen to this. Ruth was taking advantage of the Jewish law.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find that in Leviticus 19, right. 9 through 10, where it said, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap it to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyards a second time or pick the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien, the foreign. I am the Lord your God. So this law prohibited the farmers from gathering crops all the way to the edge of their field and from picking up food that had been falling to the ground. Both of these practices made it possible for the poor to feed their families by gathering what was left behind in the farmer's field.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, this book is God as a provider.
That's right.
God will make provisions in the most destitute situation.
Yes.
Amen. God is a provider. So while Ruth is working in this field, she finds out it belongs to a man named Boaz.
Yeah, Lord.
Who's a relative, not of Naomi's, but of Naomi's deceased husband.
Uh-huh.
When Boaz learns that a woman is gathering food in his field, he tells his workers, let her gather among the sheaves and do not reprimand her. He even pull out some stalks for her from the bottoms and leave them for her to pick up and do not rebuke her.
That's right.
Boaz then gives Ruth a gift of roasted grain and tells her she should feel free working in the fields. Ruth is shown unmerited favor from Boaz, and he became her protector.
Wow. Right.
So let's I want to be down with what you're going through. That means you're accept everything. That's a slang term that we use in our community, which basically means I accept everything that you got going on.
Yes,
I'm, whatever you going through, I'm down with. Whatever you getting ready to do, I'm with it, right? I'm with it. I'm down with it. So I'm gonna be with you through the thick and the thin, the good and the bad, the hard times.
Yellow.
But when you build a right relationship with people, as we just found out, you also get favor.
Hallelujah.
When you build a right relationship with people, you also get protection.
Come on.
Now, you know, in the modern day, in this day of social media and TikTok and Instagram, Twitter and all that, you know, we have, some of us got a lot of followers. Some of us got 1,000, some people got millions. But think about this, only a few of them really down with what you're going through.
That's right.
The rest of them are following you to find out what you're going through so they can talk about it.
Hey!
Did you see that post? Did you see her tweet? Did you see what she put out on Instagram? They ain't really down. They just want to be in the know. They just really want to be in the know.
That's it.
So when you have the right relationship with people,
praise God.
When you have the right relationship, we got to be careful in this season to form the right relationship. Just because I've been knowing you for 30 years don't mean you down with me.
You better say it.
I have met people that I've only known. I met a girl that I took a real estate class with. This girl sells designer bags. How about she brings me a Louis Vuitton bag to class? I'm like, what's she doing? You know, she know what I like. She know what I like. What she doing? But what I'm saying to you, she felt such a connection to me that she wanted to sow into me.
That's all right.
How many of your friends that you've been knowing 30 years, been knowing since you was in grade school, sowing into your vision? Or did you get the vision of what you got going on so they can talk about it? So they can come against it. When you form the right relationships with people, it should bring favor. It should push you towards your destiny and in your purpose.
Nothing.
The relationship with Naomi and Ruth goes way deeper than the natural, what we see. It was a spiritual thing.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
It was a spiritual thing. It was promised that out of the house of David shall come a Messiah.
Come on.
So if Ruth had not ever married into Naomi's family, and her sons had not died out,
hallelujah,
Ruth wouldn't have been able to hook up with Boaz.
That's right.
And from her relationship with Boaz, there came a descendant for Elimelech and Naomi to carry on the family name. I know I'm getting way ahead of myself. I wanted to kind of break that down about the kids and everything, but we'll go back if it's necessary. Amen. But from that relationship, from that union, became Obed.
Come on.
From Obed came Jesse. And from Jesse came King David. And from the house of David came the Messiah. So when you go back and look at the genealogy in Matthew 1:1, there's only 4 women. Come on, ladies. It's only 4 women mentioned, and Ruth is one of them.
All right, now.
Ruth,
Taylor,
Rahab,
Tamar,
and Bathsheba.
All right.
Now, Boaz is the son of Rahab. Who was what?
A prostitute. Look at God.
The pastor just said, look at God. I'm sitting up, I'm just like, oh my God. So when we look at, I used to skip over, I ain't gonna tell y'all no lie, I used to skip over that. Cause first of all, I ain't even know all the names. I didn't even ask all the names. And I'm like, what is this important?
Hallelujah.
But there's nothing that's in the Word of God that's void. We need to know it all. So I used to skip over that. I'm like, man, God, I know we got to know me. Shalimelech and the end. What? all these people got this person, got this person, but it's important to know where we came from. And that God is no respect of person. If he can use a Moab woman, he can use an African-American woman like
me. And he will.
Hallelujah.
And he has.
Hallelujah.
If he can use every situation, no matter the situation, what your past is, your past. It's what you do in your present that matters. It's what you do right now in your present. It's what you do with the promise that has been spoken. Hallelujah. It's what you do with the prophetic word that has come forth. It's the instructions that you follow when people give it to you. When the pastor says to you, God showed me and he said, this is going to happen. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Now, the word came for way before Ruth came into the picture. She could have went on about her business estate and turned back around just like Oprah.
Yeah.
Right.
And decided, when Mama Naomi, you go ahead. We're going to see Moab. We're going to stay over here and we're going to get with our people. Find us a husband over here, and you go on back to your homeland, because honey, I ain't even trying to go get with you and start our home. But because she followed the instructions, and there was a spiritual thing that was happening, I'd like to believe that. I read that a couple of times. She said to him the first time, she told him her plan. She said to him a second time, y'all sure y'all don't want to turn around? And Oprah said, I think I will. That was a third time. How many of you know that three is the number of completion?
Yeah.
It was a done deal. Ruth said, I don't care how many times, don't ask me no more. And Naomi didn't say nothing no more, right? She didn't say it again. They went on their trip. Amen. They went on their trip. So getting back to the story, I got kind of sidetracked there. So Naomi instructs her daughter-in-law on how to petition Boaz to exercise his right as a kinsman redeemer. Uh-huh. Who as we know is a redeemer? Jesus.
Come on now.
Jesus. Okay. So she talks, she tells her what to do. Naomi advises Ruth to dress herself up. Come on, women.
Yeah.
Even if you want to meet your Boaz, you got to do something. You can't just walk around here in joggers all the time and jeggings. You got to fix yourself up. She told him to fix herself up.
Come on, Lord.
And she said, go get dressed, dress yourself up, and sleep at Boaz's feet. In that day, that was understood to be the role of a servant. Amen. To lay down at their master's feet and be ready for any command of the master.
Amen.
So when Naomi told Ruth to lie down at Boaz's feet, she basically was telling her to come, to go to him in a totally humble and submissive way. Amen. Ruth follows Naomi's advice, and when Boaz discovered her at his feet in the middle of the night, he asked, who was she? And she replies, it is I. I am your servant, Ruth. Spread the corner of your garment over me. Spreading the corner of your garment over me. This was a culturally relevant way to say, I am a widow. Take me as your wife. Spreading of the skirt over a widow as a way of claiming her as a wife.
Yes.
Sis, you are her guardian, redeemer of her family.
Teach it.
Hallelujah.
By calling him a redeemer, Ruth is referencing an ancient custom where a brother would marry the wife of his deceased brother if he died without children.
Yeah.
The firstborn of that union, Obed, would then be considered the child of the deceased brother and would inherit all his properties.
Yes.
Because Boaz is not the brother of Ruth's dead husband, the custom technically does not really apply to him in that sense.
Yes, Lord.
So Boaz was what you call a family kinsman redeemer.
Yes, sir.
Kinsman redeemers were responsible to buy a fellow Israelite out of slavery.
Hallelujah.
You can find that in Leviticus 25
and
48.
Yeah.
Come on, come on.
He was responsible to be the avenger of blood, make sure a murderer of a family member answered for the crime. You could find that in Numbers 35 and 19.
Right.
He was responsible to buy land that had been forfeited. That's in Leviticus 25 and 25. He was responsible. Here we go. He is responsible to carry on the family name by marrying a childless widow. Deuteronomy 25:5-10. He can see that the kinsman redeemer was responsible to safeguard the person's property and the posterity of the family.
Yeah,
since Boaz was recognized as Elimelech's, he was part of Elimelech's family, the deceased husband of Naomi, the father-in-law of Ruth. Ruth could appeal to him to safeguard the posterity of Elimelech's family and take her in marriage.
Yeah.
If Boaz didn't, then the direct family of Elimelech would perish.
Uh-huh. All right now.
And note, I made a note right here. This was an important task. And it also showed how important it was to God to preserve the institute of family then and now.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so when Boaz discovered Ruth at his feet, it was midnight, and you know, things could have turned with a whole lot different. You're talking about a man and a woman, you know. But you know, we don't ever talk about the fact that Boaz was licked.
Yeah.
When Ruth came here, he had been out eating and drinking.
All right.
We don't ever talk about that.
Ain't heard.
You know what? I'm like, why y'all never mention that Boaz was drunk?
All right.
When Ruth met him, that's why I said the situation could have turned. Went totally left.
Yeah.
Because he could have, because she came to him in the middle of the night, laid herself at his mercy and been submissive to him. He could have taken advantage of her.
He could have.
He could have. But when you are in the right relationship, you are protected. Boaz recognized who Ruth was. Her reputation had received her. Everybody talked about, you know, Naomi's daughter-in-law came back with her and this, that, other. And some of y'all, if y'all don't know what a virtuous woman is, look at Ruth.
Come on.
You know, we always say, well, who can find a virtuous woman?
Yes.
Ruth is an example of that.
Amen.
You know, we look, you know, nothing wrong with that particular chapter.
No.
But here was a woman who held herself in high regard.
Come on, with.
She could have, because she was desperate. You know how some of us get desperate? I need a husband and I need one right now.
Uh-huh.
We'll take the first bozo that come along. Don't y'all woo too quick over here in the corner. Because you know what? Here, check this out. Check this out. Boaz also had to be a man of valor.
Hallelujah.
Because his representation had received him too. He was rich. He was wealthy. He could have had any woman he wanted. But he was a man of valor. He recognized who Ruth was. Some of y'all don't recognize who your Ruth is. You too busy looking at Shaquita with Ruth standing right in front of you. Ruth right there. Ruth right there, but because she, whatever, you know, you're looking for, she don't fit the picture of what you're looking for, or the kind of woman you think. You know, we got this saying, and you know, I need her to be a lady in the street. I'm going to leave that alone. But check this out. If she one thing in one place, who is she really?
Come on.
Who is she really? What is the relationship? What is the relationship really gonna be? Can you trust her?
Preach the word.
Men, can you trust her? Women, can you trust him? Is he gonna respect you? That relationship was more about respect than it was about anything else. They respected who each other were in God, who God had created them to be. Not what the world said they should be. They recognized who each other was in God.
Yes, sir.
And then Boaz told her, blessed are you. Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter.
Amen.
Which made me think that he might have been an older man.
Yeah.
He might have been just a little bit older. For you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning.
Yeah.
In that you did not go after the young men.
Come on, wait.
Whether poor or rich.
Rich,
and now, my daughter, do not fear. I will go for you. I will do for you all that you have requested.
Come on, wait.
For all the people For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. He called her that. He recognized who she was. And just to show you, he didn't send her and say, well, you want me to be your kinsman redeemer? You go over there and talk to Roscoe about this thing and see if he really, if he gonna give him his rights. He said, I'm a mighty man of valor. I'm gonna go take this care of this business myself. I'm gonna handle it. You gotta be about your business. Come on, women. We gotta be about our business. We gotta be virtuous in order for men to look at us with respect. Yeah. Now she could have, when she laid at his feet, she could have said, well, you know, babe, I'm here. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? Boaz could have said, well, what you gonna do? I do have my dad's personality out there. But you know, it's like, well, what you gonna do? Well, I'm here, you here. What's up?
Fix it up, man.
But that's not what they did, though. That's not what they did. Y'all come on back. That ain't what they did. They respected the fact of who they were in God. He recognized she was a virtuous woman, and he did not take advantage of that. But what he said to her is, I'm going to go handle this business. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to make you my boo. I'm going to make you my wife, okay? I'm going to handle it. So he went and talked to the person that he needed to talk to. And we know the story that after he did that, he was able to, because he was not the next in line. Sometimes you ain't the next in line, but God can move that person wheel out the way, so you will be. That was a sidebar. He can move. You might be next, but somebody else might be next, but God can just move them out the way. Okay. So we know that Boaz and Ruth got married, and from there they became a union. But the thing that's really most important I want to drive home is that, first of all, Ruth had a friendship with Naomi. And it went beyond that of a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. So much so that she decided she would follow her to the ends of the earth.
Lord help us, amen.
She would follow her wherever she goes. Ruth was poor and she was a farmer. But she listened to the advice, young people, of an older, wiser woman. And in turn, because of the advice that Naomi had given Ruth, Naomi was rewarded by Ruth's unfaltering loyalty. The message here is courage triumphs over misfortune. Naomi was destitute. She had nowhere to go but back home. But she found a friend. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We all know who he is. But you know, it's all right to have somebody in the natural that gets you like that. Somebody in the natural that want to be down for what you're going through. I got you. In this time of my, I've been going through with my dad, I can tell you, it's not the people that I've known the longest that have called me, prayed with me, checked on me, but it's the people that God had put in my circle of influence in the most recent days. They have texted me every day, they have prayed, have called me and checked on me, because you know, they say check on your strong friends. But they checked on me. They even gave me permission as I gathered with them to release it. You in a safe place. You can release it with us. We got you. One of them sitting right here. She didn't have to come with me today. Tia, she didn't have to come with me today. But she said, I'm going with you. I don't want you to go over there by yourself.
Bless her.
I haven't been known to you that long. No, not really. But she's been texting me every day. praying for me every day.
Okay.
Calling me. Sometimes I'm like, no, I'm all right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But she, and I haven't been, I'm not been knowing her long at all. And then there's family. The story of Ruth celebrates the family in the way it continues through many generations. Ruth, a childless widow at the beginning of the story, becomes the great-grandmother of Israel's great king David.
That's right.
So the story of Naomi's family and the way it endured in the universe is a universal thing. Even Ruth, a foreigner from the despised Moabite, could move God's plan to its fulfillment.
Yeah.
Here we have a Moabite woman who positioned herself.
Come on.
I believe somewhere down in the core of who she was, she knew she had to follow them.
Yeah.
She didn't know what the outcome was going to be.
Yes, Lord.
She didn't know how things was going to turn out. But I believe she followed the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
I believe she followed God's unction, and that they knew that there was something more spiritual than it was natural in their being
Amen.
Together.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Here we have Naomi leaving one situation. Famine, only to find herself, I'm wrapping it up, only to find herself in an even worse situation, the death of her husband and son.
Uh-huh.
Though she is going through a difficult time, she is encouraged by her daughter-in-law to go and to live with her and to seek refuge in her place.
Yeah.
I don't know why this thing on everybody. We at the end now. Come on, John. Okay. So we look at the situation and we see that they had the right relationship. But they not only had the right relationship with each other, they had the right relationship with God. And I believe with these three things you want to look out for in relationships. Are they coming to destroy, discourage? Or are they coming to push you into what God has for you?
Yeah.
Are they coming to get you off focus and distract you from the call on your life? Or are they coming to keep you on the path that God has set before you? Relationships are important. Being in a right relationship, even in our relationship with God, brings forth blessing. And I'm going to give y'all a little plug. Y'all also need to be in the right relationship with your leaders. With the man and woman of God who effortlessly pray for you unselfishly every day. You can call him day or night and he answers. He probably know more about y'all than y'all know about him. He knows your family. I mean, I know this area is a close community, but can your pastor call you any day and night and ask you to do whatever for him? Do you have the right relationship with your leadership? I'm still talking about Naomi and that really want to be down. Do you really want to be down with what the man of God is going through?
Yes.
When he faces hard times, when he goes through trials and tribulation, do y'all pick up the phone and say, Pastor, I don't know, I just feel something down. Are you okay? Are you all right?
Yes.
Can we do something for you?
Hallelujah.
And not him always pouring out.
All right.
Fill his cup. Fill his pitcher. Because when his pitcher is empty, when the leader's pitcher is empty, we jacked up.
Yeah, Lord.
Because where else are we going to go?
Lord, help
you. Yeah, we can go to God, but God puts before us a preacher.
Hallelujah.
How else would we hear unless we hear?
Glory. Hallelujah.
From a minister, from the preacher, from the pastor.
Yes, sir.
Well, he needs somebody to have the right relationship with your first lady and your pastor. Have the right relationship with the people in your congregation.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be that when we come to church, we only socialize with our little cliques. But we should have a hello and I love you for every member in the church. It's about relationship. Because you don't know when you might need to call on that person.
Come on now.
The one that you look at, you know, that old sister.
Stay right there.
You know,
all the time.
Now, you know, we in church, it's just the right thing to do. No, the right thing is do is to form a bond.
That's right, amen.
So you can push forth kingdom work. So you can push forth the kingdom assignment.
Yeah, Lord.
Because I might have a word in my mouth for you because you walk past me and don't say, hey, you might miss it.
So true.
You know what kind of people I got. I might know some people with some, and you might, I might have the very thing that you need.
Come on, well,
because we don't have the right relationship.
Right.
How is it that the world, we expect the world to have to listen to us, but we don't have the right relationship with each other.
That's right.
Now this whole situation, like I said, has made me look at things a whole lot different. Because I have other siblings outside of the siblings I had with my dad. And I'm like, okay, what y'all gonna do?
Yeah.
And it took them to, I'm just saying, they might hear this, but it is what it is. Is that if you got to be the you got to be the reciprocator of what you want to be the recipient of. If somebody is pouring out to you, you need to pour into them.
That's right, amen.
Don't wait for them to pick up the phone to call you and tell you there's something going on.
All right.
But if you got the right relationship with that person, you gonna know. I need to call sister so and so. I need to pick up the call and see if my first lady okay. I need to know if the pastor need me to do something.
Amen.
I'm just saying, have the right relationship. This has made me read this whole situation. And I even asked myself, and me and my dad have a pretty good relationship, but I still question, did I have the right relationship?
Amen.
But I thank God for January the 3rd, which is the last time I spoke to my dad. Actually had a conversation with him. I went to his house. God pressed upon me, you need to go ahead.
Come on, with you. Hallelujah.
But because I had the right relationship, it wasn't a struggle for me to go.
Yeah.
Right.
Some of us need to have the right relationship with our parents.
Hallelujah.
We can't expect them to always do the right thing.
No.
They didn't come with a how-to manual, just like you didn't come with a how-to manual how to be a son or how to be a daughter.
Right.
Some of them have went through things in their life that has caused trauma.
Amen.
That they may not know how to love you in the way that you want to be loved, but they're giving you the best love that they can.
That's right. Come on, we.
It's about the right relationship. But I thank God that I had the ear to hear in the right relationship with my daddy, that I sat and talked to him on January the 3rd. Because on Wednesday, he was over there at Easter Baptist. And he ain't been able to talk to me since until yesterday.
Yes.
I thank God for the right relationship.
Glory.
The relationship that makes me drive an hour from Greenville to Seneca.
Yeah.
The relationship that lets me sit beside his bed even though he can't talk to me.
Amen.
The relationship. Hallelujah. He cares Sunday that he ain't sick.
Thank you, Lord.
I pray your corona that he ain't sick. He can't get it. The relationship that would cause me to pray for my daddy and lay my hands on him and tell God, if you did it for the woman with the issue. If you sent your word by the centurion soldier, I know you can send a word, hallelujah. That your word will go forth, hallelujah, and heal my daddy.
Praise Jehovah.
provision, his love, his favor, and his redemption. Ruth is more than about somebody getting a rich husband. It's about purpose. It's prophetic. And the word went forth and said, out of the house of David shall come. And she was part of that. A Moabite, a Gentile, will let us know that God is no respecter person. He had his chosen people, but we were adopted in. It's about relationship. Do you have the relationship with him? Because if you don't have the right relationship with him, you ain't going to have the right relationship with him. Or her or me.
In your name.
And even on today, if you don't have a right relationship, I don't believe Pastor Sutton with mine. Hey, if you don't have a right relationship, that you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior today. That's what it's all about, y'all. That's what it's all about. It ain't about me. It ain't about the pastor. It's about your relationship. It's about your relationship with Christ. With your mouth. All you gotta do is believe that he is who he said he is.
Yes, Lord.
He is the risen Savior.
Yes, Lord.
He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. You receive him by faith.
Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you say. It don't take a whole lot. Today, they have the right relationship.
Thank you, Lord.
They will cause you to be down. Whatever God got going on, I want to be down with what you're going through. Because Jesus went to the cross, as we said earlier. Not because he did any wrong, because he went for us. Not for the past sin, but for the future sins as well. And whatever you have done, once you come to him, he said you become, the old things are passed away, and behold, all things become.
Yeah.
New life is in relationship with the Father.
Amen.
The old life is over. Even if you're out here listening, you're on Facebook, I'm sure there's a number and somebody you can reach out to here on Facebook that can talk to you. If you're in this area, I'm just going to put a plug out here. This is good ground, divine purpose, outreach ministries. You need to hook up with where the word is being taught. You need to hook up with being a woman of God who are on purpose for the kingdom. You need to be in the right relationship, hallelujah, to receive all that God has for you. And your relationship can start today. It can start today. It can start right now in this moment. It can start right now in this moment. Hallelujah. Having the right relationship. And when you have the right relationship, favor follows the right relationship. Protection follows the right relationship. Hallelujah. Destiny and purpose follows the right relationship. Whether you Jew or Gentile, black, white, Chinese, Puerto Rican, whatever it is, if you call on the name of the Lord, he will hear you and he will save you. And you can be in the right relationship. I thank God for having the right relationship. Being in the right relationship has brought me peace.
Yes.
Even in the midst of this situation that I'm going through, it has brought me peace. Like he did for me.